Welcome to the Not So Basic Training Podcast, featuring Suzanne Gust. And now, here's the Not So Basic Training Podcast.
Good morning. Your alarm clock didn't go off. Your only clean suit is lying in a heap on the closet floor, and at the breakfast table, your son tells you that he needs baking soda for the volcano project, and you're all out. The dog ate the Brillo pad, the cat throws up on the couch, the dishwasher blows a gasket, your car's out of gas, there's an unexpected detour on the way to work, and as the heavens open, you remember that you left your umbrella on the dining room table, and it's not even 7 a.m. Your blood pressure's already out of control. At work, you can't even find an important file. Your assistant gave her notice, and there's a note on your desk telling you that Mike Wallace has called about the investment scheme your brother-in-law has talked you into. Stress. The eye-popping, stomach-gripping, face-flushing intensity can pulverize your control quicker than a Mixmaster. It's everywhere, it's inescapable, and it's definitely unhealthy. But stress itself can't hurt anyone. It's how you respond to the stress that counts. In 1970, the American journalist and sociologist Alvin Toffler predicted that the rate of change in modern civilization would accelerate to such a degree that the enormity of it would have people experiencing shattering stress and disorientation. And Toffler even wrote a book about this condition called Future Shock. Psychologically and physiologically, stress emerges as a result of growing deficit between what's demanding of your time and the resources you have to cope with it. Now, let me make this even easier. Stress, by definition, is the difference between what you expect to happen and what really happens. You expect it to take 17 minutes to get to work. It really takes 25. Stress. You expect to gain 20 pounds when you're pregnant. You gain 65 pounds. The difference between what is actually happening and what you expected to happen is the degree to which the stress will impact you. There's good stress. Like, for instance, when you inherit a large amount of money, that's different than you expected, or you got a bigger promotion than you expected, but that stress feels like exhilaration. And that's good. It's a difference between what you got and what you expected. Negative stress is called distress. It's the stress of losing or failing or taking longer, and distress is what affects people in negative and harmful ways. It is absolutely impossible to avoid this stress. And actually, the only stress-free state is death, which to me is not a really great alternative. So, where did stress come from and why do we suffer from it? In our distant ancestral relationships, we had stress, so it exhilarated us into action. For instance, if we were chased by a tiger, we'd want the stress to kick in, so we'd run faster, higher adrenaline. What's happening now is we have all this stress. The adrenaline goes up, and it doesn't have anywhere to go. And that's where it starts to become unhealthy. So what happens in our bodies when we encounter stress? Actually, quite a bit. The stress starts to excite the hypothalamus, which is part of the brain, controlling the body's temperature and hunger and thirst. And the hypothalamus stimulates the pituitary, which releases a hormone into the bloodstream. And that hormone stimulates the adrenal glands, which secrete more chemicals, which affect our body further. The net effect of this process is that the body becomes all charged up, fully alert, ready to fight, ready to run. But we don't do that at work. In fact, it's kind of not cool to punch a boss or to run away in a stressful meeting. So all of this gets pent up, and over long periods of time, the stress response begins to take its toll on its body. In fact, cortisol, which is a steroid, is released, and this starts to kill good bacteria in our body, and it weakens our immune system, and we fall vulnerable to infection. That's why people who are under extreme stress are ill more often. Stress does affect us physically, emotionally, and it has lots of ramifications. Enough about what stress is. What can you do about it? Actually, what provides stress is you. If you set your expectations and they're not hit, you have stress. The only one that sets those expectations is you. So the first thing you can do about stress is change your expectation. If you expected to gain 20 pounds when you were pregnant, shame on you. If you expect to gain 100 and you only gain 80, you're not very stressed about it. If you expect to gain 20 and you gain 65, you're very stressed about it. from personal stressors when my child wasn't potty trained by the age of two and people started asking me, Suzanne, is your son potty trained? Well, I expected him to be potty trained by two, so every time people ask me, I get more stressed about it. My mother, who is infinitely wise, said to me, who cares when he's potty trained? Even if he's president of the United States, they aren't going to come back and say, what age was he potty trained by? So I changed my expectation. As long as when he went to school, he was potty trained, I really didn't care. In fact, as soon as I changed my expectation, people would ask me on the street, is he potty trained? And I'd say, no, but we find traveling's a lot easier. We just put the diaper on. We can go for hours without stopping. You're controlling your own stress. So if you change your expectations, you change your stress level. If you expect to make 47 stops on the way home from work and still have a hot meal on the table, shame on you. You created that stress. If you expect to be able to return 30 phone calls in your one-hour lunch, you're not going to make it. You made yourself stressed out. So how can you change your expectations? Well, one of the easy ways is to start to limit the number of activities that you're doing. If you think that you can be in every club and organization, then you're going to have a hard time meeting all of those expectations and getting your normal job done. So you're going to have to choose. Simple things like you expect to have to pay the bills, that's not a problem, but you can start to change some of the activities you do within paying the bills. Instead of paying the telephone bill every month, see if you can do it online. Instead of paying your newspaper subscription every month, pay a whole year in advance. You have less to do. Change your expectation. If you expect it to take 17 minutes to get to work, then leave yourself 25 minutes. Because then when you're caught in traffic, you don't give people the international hello symbol when you're running late. Change your expectation. If you have children and you take them to a fancy restaurant, do you really expect them to be completely behaved the entire time? Or should you change to a restaurant where it doesn't matter? You control your own stress level. So your expectations, you setting them, that controls stress. Another thing that you can do is boost up your physical reserves. You know stress is coming. Change is happening more often now. So what you expect to happen and what really happens is always going to be different. So what can you do to build up your physical reserves? Well, eating healthy is one way. Exercising is probably the best way. One, because you're building up that adrenaline and exercise is a wonderful way to let it out. You can exercise, you can run, you can walk, you can even talk to someone. That helps to get it out. You could stand in a quiet room and yell to yourself. It's another way to release that tension. Also, just basic rest and water all help with stress. Having a plan or having a schedule also is a stress reducer. Having a plan to fill your car and clean your car every Sunday night helps with that Monday morning mad rush to get out of the house. And you've already accomplished something on Sunday evening before you've even started your work. You can lay your clothes out or plan your week's wardrobe. I know that I used to have 5 suits, Monday suit, Tuesday suit, and even though that sounds silly, I never had to think about it again. It was already laid out for me. I can plan what I'm going to eat throughout the week. I can even schedule in time to work out or time to rest. That schedule helps you feel like you're accomplishing things too. Because if you've planned it and then you do it, it's one more thing that you get to check off your to-do list. You expected it to happen and you did it, and so it's a stress reducer. Another way to reduce stress is to buy your way out of it. Earlier I said reduce the number of things you have going on. Well, you can buy your way out of having to stop at the cleaners by having the cleaners deliver your clothes to you. There's usually no extra charge. You might as well do it. I personally have meals made for me. I found a source that's a chef, and he delivers 2 weeks worth of meals to me. It's $160 for 2 weeks worth of meals, and I don't have to go to the grocery store, and I don't have to think about what I'm preparing that evening. Also, I get on drugstore.com. You can have an entire list of things that you normally buy, from deodorant to toothpaste, hit a button, and it's just delivered to your house 2 days later. It's at a discount, so it typically pays for all of the costs of shipping. And if you're anything like me, whenever you go to the store for one thing, you find 57 others you didn't need, but put them in your cart. So your 10-minute adventure also just turned into an hour and a half. And if you want to really reduce stress, another thing that you can do is add to your coping skills. Coping skills are your ability to understand and deal with what's coming down. Coping skills are things like listening, problem solving, and communication. And if you're not doing your best at any of those categories, those would be areas that you can look at to improve your coping skills. Coping is understanding, and many people struggle more with the people side of understanding and coping skills than the technical side. It's easy to go and understand more about technical skills, but many of the things that stress us out are people. So another area to look at for coping skills is to understand people's behavior. And people's behavior is based upon personality and upbringing and morals and ethics. And one thing I can pretty much predict is it's not going to change. So you've got to learn how to understand and cope with people to adjust your stress level. One thing that I constantly see in business is an executive who is extremely fast-paced, very demanding, and could almost be described as a bottom-line kind of person, who has an assistant that's slow and methodical and thinks through everything. While they're the perfect matchup in business, both of them are constantly stressed out. The executive wants the assistant to move faster and saying things to me like, they just don't understand the pace of business. And the assistant says things to me like, well, if they would just let me do my job quietly, I'd be able to work and get it done right. And so the differences that we have in behavior style also create stress. This is further impacted by the social relationships we choose. We tend to choose to have relationships with people that are completely opposite of us. And so when we're dating or when we're finding a partner in life, we'll look for someone who doesn't have what we have, who has a completely different set of behavioral style. Why do we do this? Some sociologists will tell you that the reason we look for someone different is because we're trying to form the ultimate team. So if I have one person who's not good at details, they're going to look for someone who's good at details. Can you imagine how much stress this creates in a relationship? I've heard it described a different way. The one thing that attracted you to the person that you love is the thing that bothers you the most later. So think of the one thing that you thought was great about the person you're with, and then think about how it irritates you now. I hope my husband's not listening to this, but he's a perfectionist. He already knows that. He's a perfectionist. He likes everything perfect. I like everything fast. Can you see where we might run into some dilemmas? It creates a lot of stress in a relationship, but this stress can carry on into business too, because the person that you choose to be head of engineering that you work with, you hire for their technical abilities, their methodical work structure, and their ability to think through problems. And then you do not understand why they are not verbal in a meeting. They are stressed, you're stressed. So one of the best coping skills you can have is to understand human behavior. You can do that by reading books on the subject. You can read about Herman's brain dominance. You can read about disc profiling by Carlson. All of the behavioral profiling that's been done was really started in the 20s by Marston, who started looking at these behavioral differences. He was looking at behavioral differences to predict what was going to happen. Predicting what was going to happen is very close to setting expectations. You know what I can expect from my spouse? That he will have the evening completely planned. If I expect something different to happen, I'm setting myself up for stress. You know what he can predict about me? That I will arrive home late. And if he expects anything else to happen, he's going to be stressed out. So on the theme of setting expectations, behavioral expectations are probably the most important, and understanding them will help you cope with the situations that arise. You absolutely should have team members of all different variable and different behavioral styles, but in doing that, you're forming a very stressful situation. So coping skills are important at home, they're important at work, and they're definitely important with a team of people. And remember, coping comes from understanding. So ways to understand also about stress management would be a book that I'd recommend. It's called Stress Management for Busy People, and it's written by Carol Turkington. So you are going to have stress. That's a given. Once again, what do you do about it? You change your expectations. Don't expect to get everything done in an hour if you don't have an hour. You're the one in control of that. Next thing you can do, boost your physical reserves. Get out there, run, yell, exercise. Eat right, get rest, drink water. Those are things you're all in control of. And the other way that you can help yourself is buy your way out of it. Get your house cleaned, order food, get on drugstore.com. Don't make life difficult on yourself. And probably the best way to control stress is increase your coping skills. Your choice. You can let stress eat you alive, or you can learn to live with it.
This has been the Not So Basic Training Podcast. For more information, visit our website at notsobasictraining.com.
Produced by Converge Podcasting.